This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life. Turn to the book of Philippians. I'm continuing a series entitled, Be Joyful. There's a lot going on right now that would cause us not to be joyful. The world situation, the economic situation, the political situation, and yet we are commanded to be joyful. So how do we do that? The message this morning is called Being Glad When Things Are Bad. And things are bad in a lot of fronts right now. How do we maintain joy? How can we be glad when things are bad? We're in Philippians chapter 1. I'm beginning with verse number 12 this morning. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. We're going to find out in the next verse what had happened to him. He's at this point been in prison for over 4 years. His life has fallen apart. He has no money. His friends, many of them, have forsaken him. His life has really fallen apart. And yet in the midst of that situation, he begins to praise God. In everything, he's giving thanks. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, and he's in Rome now, guarded every 4 hours. They change the guard. They shackle the guard to him. He's never alone. He has no privacy. If he prays, he has to pray with a Roman guard chained to him. If he reads the Word, he has to read the Word with a Roman guard chained to him. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the Word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I thank you for the testimony of the gospel. I thank you, Father, that we have hope today. Not in ourselves, not in our ability, but God, we have hope because of the cross. We have hope because of eternal life. We have hope because of heaven. We know that this morning you are seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. You know what we're going through. You know the trials, the heartaches, And Lord, you have promised to bring us through victoriously. So I pray, honor your word today. Use it to build your people up. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, there are notes in your bulletin. I want you to take those out and follow with me. And in the introduction, it says, how do you stay positive in prison? 2 weeks ago, we were privileged to have Mark Brazier share with us his experience of being in prison for almost 10 years. And the things that he learned, the grace of God that was there with him, the ministry of the Spirit to him. And I want you to know, God said he would never put more on us than what we can bear. But he would, with the temptation, provide a way to escape. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through physically or financially or emotionally or in your home or your family or with your children. God said you're going to come through that victoriously. And I sat there the other week listening to Mark share and realizing what he had been through. And I was just overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God, even through our deepest trials. How do you triumph over troubles? How do you delight in difficulties? And in our text this morning, Paul gives us four reasons for being glad when things are bad. Number one in your note says, I need a perspective from which to live. I need to know who I am. I need to know the promises of God. I need to know what he has given me to hope for, to not be moved by the things that I see, the things that I feel. Being locked up in prison, he was in prison for 2 years in Caesarea for something he didn't do. He was then transported by ship from Caesarea to Rome. And if you know the book of Acts, you know the account of how that they were shipwrecked, how he was bitten by a poisonous viper, how that he spent the winter on an island where they did not have proper heat or clothing or so forth. The next year he went to Rome and was imprisoned by Nero, who was not necessarily a nice man, and was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. But even in that circumstance, after 2 years of being in Caesarea, 2 years of being in Rome, God knew exactly where he was, knew exactly what he had called him to be and to do, and God's purposes were fulfilled. I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you're going through, what trial, what storm, what sickness, whatever it is, God knows where you are, and he is going to bring you out. And he'll bring you out either in this life or he'll bring you out in a better life. Amen? The Word says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us to the end of the age. And so every storm that we go through, there's a verse in your notes there under number one that it's been such a verse for so many of you, I know. Romans 8:28, and we know that in how many things? All things. All things encompasses a lot of things, folks. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, Paul had settled this matter on the Damascus Road. When he was thrown from his horse, he was blinded. He went into the city. Ananias came, and he confessed Jesus as Lord. He made Christ Lord of his life, and he changed the direction, and God began to work in him. He no longer was his own. He was bought with a price. He had a purpose. There was a plan. And that plan, ladies and gentlemen, is for every one of us in this room. God knew you before the foundation of the world. He has given you gifts. He has given you a calling. There is a reason. There is a purpose. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick you are. I don't care what you're going through. God has a purpose. Many of you know I went through some health situations a year or so ago. And I did everything that I could medically, and yet I knew spiritually this was a spiritual battle, not just a medical battle. And I began to pray, and I began to say, God, I claim your healing power. I claim your work in my life. I'm not ready to give it up yet. I'm not ready to lay it down. I claim every promise that you have for me. And ladies and gentlemen, when you do that, God begins to intervene. Paul was between the proverbial rock and the hard place. He was going through trials. He was going through difficulty. His life from the natural appeared to be over. And yet, in the midst of that, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He built himself up in the Lord. So many times, and I look at David in the Psalms, that guy experienced some problems. He had some difficulties, and yet he confessed the Word of God. Most of Psalms is really music that was written, and he wrote the words to it and apparently wrote the music to it with his harp. He would sing unto the Lord. Singing, when we come together on Sunday and Jim begins to lead us in worship, that's not just the preliminaries. That is to bring you into God's presence. That is to remind you of the faithfulness of God. And when we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, we're finding Him to be the sufficiency. And so Paul found that God was faithful to His Word. He was faithful to His promises. In verse 18 of our text we read just a minute ago, he said, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He did not let the problems bring him down. He did not let the circumstances control him. And I know that some of you this morning are going through some difficult places physically, financially, emotionally. And we have a choice. And that is, do we in everything give thanks? Or do we begin to sing the Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen song? Amen? In the midst of the trial, we thank God. We say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. We bring the perspective, the point of view, that God is my source, that God is faithful. Verse 12 of our text says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What he went through, people watched him, and they saw what he went through, and they said, you know what, this deal must be real. Ira Stanfield wrote a song many years ago, that anyone can sing when the sun's shining bright, but you need a song in your heart in the night. When you're going through the trial, that hard place, and you're still smiling, and you're still singing, and you've not cursed God. Job's wife said, Job, you're an idiot. Just curse God and die. And he said, no, though God slay me, I'm going to trust him. And he praised God in the midst of the trial. He praised God in the midst of the storm. And God restored to that man three times what he had lost. The latter end of Job's life was greater than the first because he refused to be moved by what he saw. Verse 13 of our text says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I think it's very interesting. They put him in prison. They put him in the most secure part. They put soldiers on him 24 hours a day. Don't you know those soldiers were tired of hearing the plan of salvation? Don't you know they were tired of hearing how good God was? If you take that those years that he spent in that dungeon, in that prison, if you figure it into four-hour shifts, there were 4,380 four-hour shifts that Paul had the opportunity to preach the gospel to the brightest men in the Roman empire. They would spend 12 years being guards. Then Perry, they were moved up the ladder to the political positions. They proved themselves as being guards. And then they were put into the high places. History tells us that his wife, his mother, his children, all became believers. Poor Herod. I mean, you know, this guy couldn't win for losing. Paul got to everybody that was in the house. And so the guards became believers, many of them. His family became believers. Paul knew who he was, and he was not going to let the problems in his life overwhelm him. Verse 14 of our text says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." His courage was contagious. Others looked at him and said, if he can do this, we can do this. I've asked God, why have I gone through some of the things I've gone through? And I pray the day will come when I can report to you that I am totally, officially cancer-free. I go back to the doctor, by the way, in December. Then I go back 3 months later. Then he said, come back in a year. Amen? So the time is going to come. I'm going to come tell you it's over. Until then, I'm standing strong in faith. I'm standing strong in God's promises, and I know that many of you are walking through the hard places. You're walking through those places, and you say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to heal me. I'm trusting you to give me strength. I'm trusting you to do what you've promised to do. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God has a purpose behind every one of our problems. Do you believe that? God has a purpose behind every one of our problems. Paul said, I need a priority to live by. In other words, when things get tough, I need to know really what's important. And Paul lived his life according to the priorities of God. He walked through the trial. He walked through the storm. In your notes, number two, he said, I'm going to be living my life based on either problems or priorities. And Proverbs 3:8, in all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your paths straight. The Living Bible says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Put God first. Focus on what really counts. And God said, I'll finish it. Number three, says, I need a power on which to live. Two things have given Paul strength during his 4 years of imprisonment. Number one, the prayers of other people. He acknowledges that. He said, it's been your prayers. And number two, the help of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit is with you 24/7? He's with you through the storm. He's with you through the trial. He's with you through the sickness, whatever it is. Verse 20 of our text says, I eagerly expect and hope. Someone said you've got to have hope to cope. Amen? The Lord will give you the hope. He's the one that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Philippians 4:13, Paul wrote later in this book, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is a man who's been in prison for 4 years. This is a man who has gone through tremendous trials. But with God's power, nothing can devastate us. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know the trial that you're facing. I know this, God is bigger than your trial. Amen? He's bigger than your sickness. He's bigger than your finances. He's bigger than your family situation. He is the God who is able. Then finally, number four, I need a purpose for which to live. I need a purpose for which to live. I want you to pick it up at verse 21 with me, if you will, again, and let's finish this out. For to me, to live is Christ. Christ isn't just something that we acknowledge on Sundays when we come to church. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's my purpose. That's my reason. To die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, I'm claiming that as my verse. Amen. Those of you that are expecting to attend the funeral, amen, you may be waiting a while. Because I've claimed that verse. Perry, I claim that verse for you, brother. Amen. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again. I mean, he's planning on getting out of prison, folks. Amen. His plan is to get out and to revisit them. He said, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. In your notes, I make the statement, Paul has basically lost everything in life except his purpose. He has no money. He has no possessions. He has almost nothing. But, he says, do you know why I'm joyful? Because I have a purpose for which to live. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know people who are extremely wealthy. Through business contacts and other contacts, I know some wealthy people that are miserable. They have nothing to live for. They really don't. They bought all the gadgets. They bought all the stuff. You know, they've got houses that, you know, just have to be kept up. And you know, if you don't have a purpose, you don't have anything. Verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the reason Paul Mills lives is for Christ. I really believe I would have gone on. But God said, no, there's a purpose in him. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. What do we live for? Possessions, pleasure, earthly power? Philippians 3:13 in your notes says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. You can't change what's behind. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my family situation is. You don't know what I've experienced. No, I don't. But I do know this. Your past will not control your future if you put your future in Christ's hands. All that is a learning process. All that is something to build upon, to look forward to. How many of you have someone, a loved one, a close friend that's waiting in heaven? They've gone on to be with the Lord. Parents, perhaps. My friend, we have something wonderful to look forward to, both in this life and in the life to come. Why are we still here and not in heaven? Number one, to tell those who don't know the Lord the good news of the gospel. I'm just here to tell you, there's something stirring in me today. It's hard not to go through trials and hardships and places and not have a pity party. Amen? And I'll admit to some of you, I've had a pity party at some points in the last year. God said, get over it. Amen? It's time to preach the gospel and build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church is going to be built. This church is going to rise. This church is going somewhere because of the faithfulness of God. Number two, to encourage other believers. God has left you here to tell somebody how much you love them and how much God loves them. Your ministry is to build up others. Then number three, it's to be salt and light in the world around us and to bring change. It's not to sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It's not to complain. It's not to say, I'm in such bad shape. No, your assignment, number one, to tell those who don't know the Lord the good news of the gospel. How many of you have family members that you're not sure of that are born again and saved? Many of you. How many of you have neighbors or friends that are work associates? You're not sure. Many of us. Our number one assignment is to say, Lord, help me share the gospel with those that we're not sure of. To pray for them, to call for things that are not as though they are, and say, Lord, I claim them. To encourage other believers. We have that roster of people that are a part of our church. If you don't have that, you stop by and see Charlotte. She'll get one for you. Just to call those people up and say, you know what? I just wanted to meet you. I'm not sure I know you, but I just want to tell you I'm praying for you today. Just want you to know I love you. Just to reach out and say, God, use me to be a tool in somebody's life. You may be surprised what somebody's going through. Somebody may say, you know, how did you know? How did you know what I'm going through? Thank you for calling me. Thank you for your prayers. And then to be salt and light in the world. Say, God, use me to bring change to people I don't know. Use me politically. Use me in every way. What is the secret of joy? And I know most of you have heard this. The secret of joy is to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. The secret of joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Begin to give yourself away. Say, Lord, how can you use me to witness, to pray, to encourage? Let me be an instrument in your hands. And when you learn to have a greater purpose in your life than just yourself, you will have more joy than you can handle. God will just dump it on you. Your life will be full. The Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, going through hardships that most of us cannot even experience, writes this book to the Philippian believers. I was reading on in Philippians, the other chapters, getting ready for this series, and it's just hard for me to imagine this guy's been in prison 4 years, 2 years in Caesarea, 2 years in Rome, and the encouragement that he gives to other people. God is calling us to be salt, to be light, to be witnesses, to have his joy, to have his strength. And, you know, I can hardly believe the words that come out of Paul's mouth in the condition that he's in and how much they would have impact in those who understood. And they said, is this the guy that's going through that? Is this the guy that's had that situation? Yeah, that's the same guy. The power of his words, the power of his testimony. And I'm asking God to take me this morning and do something new in Paul Mills. Amen. Do something new. Start a new work, a freshness, an anointing to preach the gospel, the ability to witness and share my faith with others. How many of you say, Pastor, I join you. I want that in me today too, all over this room. Lord, I thank you today for the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Your word says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you, Father, for the hope that we have, not only for this time, but for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you will take us individually and give us a new vision. God, a new opportunity to be used by you. Let us be bold in our witness. Be bold in our prayers. Be bold in our life, Lord, to say, it's not over. We're here and we have a purpose and a reason. We're going to let God use us. Lord, I thank you for the days past and all that you've done. But God, I thank you for the days in the future. I claim those for myself today. I claim those for in this room, God. I claim that we will see a revival, Father, of people that have given up hope. A revival of people that have given up on their lives because of their trials and their struggles. And God, that we're going to be those that are going to say, God can heal you. He can touch you. He can change your family. Father, that we will be instruments of hope in a dark, gloomy world. Jesus' name.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website. Or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.